All right. Well, I have a study for tonight that I'm very excited to share. It's been a fruitful study for me, and I hope that I can communicate some of the riches of this study to you tonight. Please open to Revelation 1. We have just made it through chapter 1, and we are about to jump into the letters to the churches. But before we do that, I think it is going to be helpful for us to answer an important question that kind of transitions us into chapters 2 and 3. If you remember all the way back when we began this book, back in verse 3, we read that blessed is the one who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and heed the things that are written in it. So we've now read the first chapter of Revelation. Do you now qualify for this blessing? Or do you have to wait until someone has read the whole book in your hearing? Or is there something even more than just having read the book in your hearing? We want to be blessed by this book, right? And we read and we learned early on that this book is meant as a blessing. And if there's a blessing on those who hear, we surely want that, especially as we're going to get into chapter 2 and 3. And you can look, just skim your eyes down through those two chapters, and you will see, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 7 in chapter 2. And then in every letter, we will again be confronted with hearing. And so what I want us to ask tonight is, do you have ears to hear? Will you receive this blessing that Revelation is intended to offer? In essence, our question for tonight is, who has ears to hear? Who has ears to hear? And I have spent recent days studying this all throughout the Bible, and I have actually been surprised at where all this has taken me. And you will be surprised at where I ask you to turn. So turn to Deuteronomy, please. Turn to Deuteronomy. I think that the foundation of this message is laid in Deuteronomy. We're going to find in just a little bit that the first time that we hear about these ears to hear will actually be in Deuteronomy. But until we get to that, I want to show you a few other things just to emphasize that Deuteronomy is a book about hearing. In essence, I'm going to make this argument that in one sense, you could tell the story of the whole Bible by talking about people who have ears to hear. Hearing could be a summation of the story of the Bible, and I think we'll see that a little bit tonight. But I want to show you, first of all, that Deuteronomy is all about hearing. Many have said that Deuteronomy is like the sermon that Moses preaches before they enter the land. And in this large sermon, if you got Moses's main points, somewhere in them would be the word hear. And I want to prove that to you. And I want you to see this because it is foundational to our understanding of what biblical hearing is. So pay close attention and hear as we look to Deuteronomy's teaching about hearing. Let me give you kind of a big picture perspective of what Deuteronomy does, kind of Moses's sermon outline, so to speak. He's going to take, and this comes from a man named Gary Millar. I like his outline. Chapters 1 through 11 are going to emphasize to the people that they're going to make a decision. The first three chapters reminds them of their history. Chapter 4 tells them that this decision is coming. Chapter 5 rehearses the Ten Commandments. And then chapters 6 through 11 are just like Moses. He's like amped up and he is preaching at the people. It's like these mini sermonettes in chapters 6 through 11. And then in chapters 12 through 26, it's going to be like this. Moses says, all right, I have told you it's important for you to hear. Now, here's what you need to hear. Chapters 12 to 26, in essence, are this is what you need as you go into the land. And then chapters 27 to 34 is here is going to be the result. Here is the result of what will happen depending on whether you hear or do not hear. So that's kind of the big picture. Now I want to show you that Moses's main point in some way could come back to hearing. Turn to chapter 5 with me first. And I'm just going to read, I'm going to dip down and read about 5 verses in a few chapters just to show this to you. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb, and he's going to remind what God did there. So these statutes and judgment that Moses is preaching about is this law, covenant that God gave on Mount Sinai. And Moses is going to say, I need you to hear them. You need to listen. You need to hear them. You're about to go in the land. You've got to hear them. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land that you're going over to possess, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord and keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life. O Israel, that you should listen and be careful to do it. So this hearing, they're supposed to hear these things. Look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. So again, he's saying, hear. You need to hear these statutes and judgments. But I also want you to see this, that hearing implies obedience. So we're going to see this all throughout, but hearing implies obedience. This is supposed to be in their hearts, and it's supposed to change them. Go to chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1. Again, hear, O Israel, you are crossing over the Jordan today to go into dispossess nations greater and mightier than you, great cities, a people great and tall. And he goes in and he says, this is what's going to happen. God's going to work, though. But now look at verse 4 and 5. Do not say in your heart. We've got another connection between hearing and the heart. When the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess the land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations. The Lord is dispossessing them before you. Now, I could do more, but suffice it to say, I think I can at least show you that Moses, as we're going through these chapters, is saying, here, listen up. You need to hear what God is saying, and you need to respond to this. Now, I want to go all the way to the end. So big picture, remember, at the very beginning, Moses is going to preach some sermons. Chapters 12 to 26, that's the law stuff. That's where he's going through all the laws. Now we're going to get to the end, and Moses is going to say, if you have not listened, here's the application of the message. If you have not listened, you are in trouble. The curse will come upon you. And if you do hear me, then the blessing will come upon you. So go to chapter 28, Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, one of the things that I want to tell you that may not be obvious to you initially, we are going to read the word obey a lot. This is the exact same word as hear, right? And our translators rightly translate the word obey because Moses is not just saying, let your ears tingle with what I'm saying. He is talking about obeying, but I want you to know that this is the exact same word that he's been using all throughout, but now he's going to use this and say, this is what should result. So, chapters 28, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall be, if you diligently, so I'm just going to read the word here, because you may have a note in your version, as I do, that it says here. So, it shall be, if you diligently hear the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you will hear the Lord your God. And then, I'm not going to read them all, but then come these blessings. Blessed you be in the city, blessed in the country, blessed is the offspring of your body. All these blessings. Do you hear God? There will be blessing. Well, go down to verse 15. But it shall come about if you do not hear the Lord your God to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And then you've got all these cursed. You will be in the city. Cursed. You will be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket. You're needing all these curses. Here's what I want to point out. All the blessings and the cursings of the God's covenant with Israel are based on hearing. They're based on hearing. Now, why is that so important? Well, because we're going to get the mic drop moment, the surprises of surprises, when we turn the page to chapter 29. When we get to 29, we're going to learn that though he's just preached all of these messages about hearing, he's going to say this: you can't do it. Look at verses 1 to 4. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord God commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel. So in verse 2, he summons them all together, says, you've seen what God has done. In verse 3, the great trials your eyes have seen, those signs and wonders. Now here's verse 4. This is the first time we find our phrase in the Bible. Yet to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. So Moses, kind of at the climax of his sermon, when it's time for the rah-rah, go do the Lord's will, he says, you're not going to do it. You don't have ears to hear. Now, we could be so surprised by this. And it is surprising because then we get to verse 22 and following. And he's going to say, the generation to come, your sons that will rise up after you, they're going to see plagues, diseases, affliction. All the land is brimstone and salt. In essence, the curses have come upon this people because they do not have ears to hear. And so he finishes in that chapter and says in verse 29 that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our sons forever, that we may observe the words of this law. Now, if you were sitting there at that time, so far Moses' main points are in essence, hear, because hearing determines your destiny, but you cannot hear. So then, what are we left with? If we are there in Moses' audience, how would we respond to that? Well, Moses wants to tell them what will happen. And so in chapter 30, we get a foundational passage that the prophets all throughout the Old Testament will come back to. He says in chapter 30, verse 1, it shall be when all these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I've set before you, and you call them to mind in all the nations which the Lord God, your God, has banished you because the curses have come upon you, that you will return with all your heart and soul according to all I command you today. The Lord will restore you, and you see this, all this promise and all this blessing. Verse 6, moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may live. He says this, hearing's going to determine your destiny, but you don't have ears to hear. But I will tell you this, that God will intervene in the future and he will circumcise your heart. He will do exactly what is necessary. And so really where it all finishes is in verses 11 to 14 in Deuteronomy. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too difficult for you. Nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us to hear it, that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and for us to hear it, that we may observe it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. Now, one more time, Moses is taking us through this switchback because he's just told us you don't have ears to hear. And then he comes back at the very end, at the climax of a sermon, and he says, it's not too difficult for you. It's not in heaven that you say, who's going to make us hear it? Or go beyond the sea that says, who will cross over and make us hear it? It's like he comes back in the end and says, now, wait a second. It's right here for you. It's right here for you. Now, I don't want to tell you where all this is going because that's the rest of the message. But I want to leave you with this question because this is where we're left at this point in our Bibles. What is this word that is so near? He says is hearable, even though they can't hear. And how can they not hear, but yet be commanded to hear? That's what I want us to ask. So now what I want to show us is that, in essence, the rest of the New Testament are the prophet, or the Old Testament, excuse me, are the prophets reaching back to this and saying, do you know what? Just like Moses said, you can't hear, you haven't heard, and you are experiencing the curses. Now, we could go many places for this, but I want to show you two. First of all, go to 2 Kings 18. 2 Kings 18 is where we find the end of the northern kingdom of Israel. If you remember, after Solomon, his the kingdom is split between Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And so you have this northern kingdom that is always and only evil. And then you have the Davidic throne in the southern kingdom, and sometimes there are good kings, but there are also many bad kings. And at 2 Kings 18 is where we come to the end of the northern kingdom, the kingdom that was all bad all the time. And we're going to find in 2 Kings 18, we're going to learn why they went into exile, why all these curses came upon them. So if you look, 2 Kings 18, verse 9, and again, I want to tell you here, we're going to read the word obey, and that is the word again here. So when you hear the word obey, know that it's the word here. So in the fourth year, verse 9 of chapter 18, 2 Kings, of King Hezekiah, he's the southern kingdom ruler, he's good. Well, in that time, the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, so here's the bad king, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, comes up against Samaria and besieges it. At the end of 3 years, they capture it. And then what happens? Well, verse 11, the king of Assyria carried Israel away into exile to Assyria. Israel is done, is gone. Then the king of Assyria carries them away. And look at verse 12. Why did this happen? They are going back to Deuteronomy 30 to say this, because they did not hear the voice of the Lord their God, but they transgressed his covenant. Even all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, they would not listen nor do it. You see that? They didn't hear. The story of the Bible, hear or don't hear. They didn't hear, they're gone. Now go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. We know Isaiah well. We know Isaiah for being in the throne room of God. Now Isaiah is ministering in the southern kingdom, Judah. And when we get to Isaiah chapter 6, he has actually, this is right after he's seen the Lord high and lifted up, and the Lord is going to say, who is going to go for us? Who is going to go on this mission that needs to be done in Judah? And in verse 8, at the end, he says, here am I, send me. And so God says, go and tell this people. Now listen, this is the southern kingdom. This is the one that's sometimes good. So what are they supposed to do? Well, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears. This is exactly what God has said. They do not have ears to hear. And what his word is now coming to do, his word at this point is coming to harden him. Some of us, as we shared our testimony, said that first time, or maybe multiple of those times, the word was hardening. That's what happened in Isaiah's day. I want to go to one more Old Testament passage, because now we're going to go to the very end, and we're going to see that all throughout, all these faithful believers are looking back to Deuteronomy 28 to 30 to explain what's happening. And so I want you to go to Daniel chapter 9. If you remember in Deuteronomy 30, God said that even though they didn't have ears to hear, there would come a day where after he had brought upon them all the curses, that they would turn to the Lord and that they would pray in all the nations that they'd been scattered into. And if you remember, Daniel's one of those people who's been scattered into nations. He's actually in Babylon right now. He's part of Judah that was carried away into exile because they didn't hear God. And so Daniel is now going to be looking back at all of what we know as the Old Testament history, and he's going to begin to pray because he's going to see that everything that God has said has come about. And so in verse 2 of chapter 9, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years that was revealed to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, as to the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed and I confessed and I said, in essence, he's going to say, we have sinned, verse 5. We have all committed. Moreover, we have not listened to your prophets. Open shame in verse 8 belongs to us. He's going to say that they've rebelled, nor have we, in verse 10, heard the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings. All Israel, verse 11, has transgressed, and they have not heard your voice. And so the curse has been poured out upon us. Exactly what God said all the way back hundreds of years ago in Deuteronomy is exactly the way that it is played out in history. So Moses said, here, it's going to be your destiny. You can't hear. It's not going to work out well. And that's exactly what we see. So now we turn the page to the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We've just had all these situations of people not hearing and not responding. Now someone else comes on the scene. And in verse 15, the Lord is going to talk. And he's talking about John the Baptist. And he's talking about the fact in verse 14 that John himself is Elijah who is to come. That the Old Testament prophesied that there is a man that was going to come and prepare the way for the Messiah. Verse 15 says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So again, this hearing ears is coming up. Now, if you turn over one more page to chapter 13, you'll see this all throughout chapter 13. Jesus would use this phrase often, and this is a phrase that is used specifically in this chapter about parables. You see in verse 13 is, or chapter 13, verse 1, that he goes out and he actually used the parable that we've referred to a couple times, the parable of the sower, the one going out to throw seed. And at the end of this parable in verse 9, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, here's really interesting. In verse 10, the disciples come and say, why are you doing this? Why are you speaking in parables? And Jesus answered them, well, to you, it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, it's not been granted. For whoever has, to him will be more will be given. But now I want you to look at verse 14. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, this is exactly what we read in Isaiah 6. You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. This is exactly what we read in Isaiah 6. But here's the hope. Look at the next verse. We're going to have ears to hear again, mention verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see. And blessed are your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So as we get to this point, as we are now in the New Testament, one of the things we can say is there are still lots of people that are not hearing. But we can also say this, that there is some hope here, because there is this group that's assembled around Jesus, and he says, he pronounces blessing on them, the very thing that we are wanting, blessing for hearing, and he pronounces that blessing on this group of people. There are people who can hear. There is a such a thing as hearers. So I want to continue this on. Let's go to Romans. We'll just walk through our Bibles, and we get to the epistles next. So what do the epistles tell us? Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. As we come here, I just want to say that we're coming to the heart of the message and the heart of the gospel at this point. Romans chapter 10 is going to take us there and is going to help us begin to see where all this is leading. Because if you remember back what we saw in Deuteronomy 30, we were told that the people had to hear, they would not hear. And yet Moses came back at the end and said, this is not too far away from you that you have to cross the sea. It's not up in heaven that you have to say who can go up there, but this word is near you. And we ask the question, what is this word that is near? How can they not hear and yet be commanded to? That was where we left Deuteronomy. And now we're going to begin to get our answer. Because as you look down in verse 5, Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. That, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. Paul says that Moses speaks about this righteousness that's by faith. And he contrasts it with this idea that there is a righteousness that is able to be received or gotten or attained by the basis of works or effort. And what Paul is doing here, as he does in Galatians and many other places, is he is saying that, is he saying that the law is bad? No. He's saying this, that there are so many people that pursued this law through their own abilities. In essence, what Vinny testified to. What I did as a child, I saw these things and tried to do it on my own. And Paul is saying that there is something very different. There is a word of faith that is ultimately pointing to Jesus Christ. And without getting too deep into Paul's understanding of the law, I think we can at least say this, that the law was never meant to give righteousness by being obeyed. It was meant to point to righteousness when he showed up. The law was meant to point to Christ so that when the people saw him, they would see, this is the one we've been waiting for. This is the intervention that God had promised. This is the way that our hearts will be changed. That circumcision of the heart. And so Deuteronomy 30, all the way back then, is saying, you cannot hear, and yet there is a promise that is right near you that is the answer. And then Romans 10 is looking backwards. And Paul is looking back and saying, you need to see that it was never intended that you were going to be able to work your way up, that you would be able to hear in that sense and be able to obey in that sense. You needed something and someone else. You needed God's intervention. And so there is a united voice of Old Testament and New Testament. Hearing to Paul is this opportunity to express faith in what God has revealed. You remember that? Do you remember in 29:29, before we got to chapter 30, Moses said this, that the secret things belong to God, but the things that he has revealed are for us and for our children. God has given in his promise and in his revelation everything that is needed. And ultimately, the fullness of that revelation was not the Old Testament law, but the New Testament Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so it is when God reveals truth, it is faith that brings about this right relationship to God. It is faith that brings about this renewed heart. And Old Testament and New Testament are renewed about, are united in professing that. So skip down just a few verses and see the importance of this. In verse 10, in chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Faith in 17 comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So do we have ears to hear? Hearing comes as we are pointed to Christ through God's revelation. Hearing comes as we are pointed to Christ by God's revelation. The Old Testament law, we are told in the New Testament that it was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. It was the thing that was supposed to show us that we are not this way. We are not the way that God requires. We sure need him to do something about that. How would he do something about that? He would do that because of Jesus Christ. He would do that through Jesus Christ. So now I want us to go back to Revelation, and I want to tie everything together here. So go back to Revelation. We began tonight by saying, we want this blessing on hearing. We saw all the way back in Deuteronomy that hearing is very closely linked to obeying. And actually, our translations very often even translate it as obeying because they're so closely linked. We've also seen that hearing is unable just in who we are. We need an intervention of God. And God has been revealing himself all the way back from the law, all the way to the fullness of Christ. And so as we read this, that we want this blessing to those who hear and to heed the things that are written in it. And then we read all throughout chapters 2 and 3, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I want to point to you, let's go to verse 7 in chapter 2. to all of the churches, when he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear, he's going to begin to say something about eternal life. So in Ephesus, he says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, you're going to have to take my word for it, but you can check this out. Every time that God says something, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, and then whatever is next, that is going to be found again in eternity in chapters 21 and 22. So the paradise of God, the tree of life, if you read chapters 21 and 22 in Revelation, that's in eternity, right? So the ones that receive blessing for hearing are the ones that will receive blessings all throughout eternity. So if we're going to begin to bring this all together, who are the ones who hear? Who are the ones that actually receive this blessing? Very simply, it's the disciples. It's the disciples. Jesus said to his disciples that were right there with him, you have ears. Most of them, these who are hearing this, they don't have ears to hear. You have ears to hear. Blessed are they because you believe in me. In simple, in short, those who have ears to hear are believers. If you are a believer, if you have seen and heard of who Jesus is, and maybe your first response was like Paul, and you said, no, I don't want that. Or maybe it was over a longer period of time, like me and Elias. But if you have believed in Jesus, then from the perspective of the Bible, you are a hearer. You have ears to hear. So then why is that so important for what we're going to see week after week from now on out? Here's why. If you have ears to hear, God wants to prove that. God is going to prove that. We've already talked throughout our study of Revelation about this idea of an overcoming testifier, that overcomers have something to overcome. These churches are in some ways in similar place as the people in Deuteronomy. A lot of these churches are failing. They've got things that they need to hear from the Lord from and that they need to respond to. Do you know what? We all sit here before the Lord and we need to hear from God too. We need to hear things from these passages. We need to hear things on Sunday morning because God sometimes needs to reprimand us a bit. And when we hear this phrase, he who has ears, let him hear, this is like, disciples, this is an opportunity for you. This is an opportunity. This is what you were made for. This is what you were given those ears for, to hear and to respond to me. So, just a few closing ideas here. Biblically, to hear is to listen and to respond, to hear and to obey. It's to have understanding and then to respond to the understanding that they're given. That's what happened to the disciples. Jesus said, you have ears to hear. And then he explained to them what these parables mean. They understood, and then they were responsible to respond to that, what they had heard. So what are our opportunities? What are our potential responses here? Well, we're going to hear the Lord give messages to his churches. One, we could, to take the words of the author to the Hebrews, we could disregard the one who's speaking. We could just disregard him and we could turn a deaf ear and say, we don't want that. And the author of the Hebrews would say, do not refuse the one who speaks. We could go back to the old way that we often tried to live life, and we could try to figure things out on our own. Could try to say, well, I can do this. Let's giddy up. Let's do it. Let's do it. Or we could cling to his word in faith and say, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I will obey. Please help me. What do we do in the midst of problems and failures like these churches were facing? We need to allow the Lord to reveal through us that we have ears to hear him, that we can hear what he says, and then by his grace that we will respond. So maybe you've heard in an old movie or, you know, in ages gone past, there you would have a king commanding his servant. And what would that servant say from time to time? Master, to hear is to obey. To hear is to obey. Your word, as soon as I hear that, that is my obedience. Well, that is a disciple. Those who have ears to hear have the response that to hear is to obey, because God has done something now in us. God has shown us who Christ is. God has opened our eyes. God has opened our ears. We see him. We hear him. And so we respond to him. We must respond. Biblical hearing requires entering into a faith relationship with this God. That is what it means to hear. To hear is to obey. And as Moses said, you can't do this. And yet it's right here because I have promised and I have done it. So hearing is to believe the promise. Hearing is to respond to Jesus. If you are a true Christian, then you are a hearer. You have ears to hear. You will receive this blessing. And so the Lord graciously gives you something to hear and to respond to. He's changed you. He's made you his disciple. And so if you have ears to hear, he's going to speak to you. And he's going to give you things to do. And you know what? Isn't this exactly what a disciple would want? Don't disciples desire to hear and to obey their master? Don't servants love to hear and obey their king? So they rejoice when he speaks. Christ is speaking to you through his word. Is it your joy to hear? And maybe the bigger question for us as we jump into this, is it true for you and for me that to hear is to obey? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this study. We thank you for the way that you have enabled us to hear. You have enabled us to see. Even as you said to the disciples, there were many people who longed to see these things, to hear these things, and you have given them to us. So our prayer is, as we move into these coming weeks, both in Revelation and really any time we come to your word, would you give us these opportunities to hear and respond to you? That is your calling for disciples, and we want to follow you. And so may we hear and may we obey. And we ask that you would even use the prayer time tonight to help us in that commitment, to help us in that pursuit. So we commit this time to you and commit this message to you in Jesus' name. Amen.